going on, everyone? It's your boy, Dropping Loot, a.k.a. Ping Pong, a.k.a. Steve.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Juggernaut, a.k.a. Stapler Face.
Oh, jeez.
Yo, 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 everybody. What's up? It's your boy. I've been around the world and all, yeah, 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 a.k.a. Ken.
Yay, Ken.
Hey.
Yes, and you've been player-hated, and you will continue to be player-hated. What's up, everybody? We got a very special episode here. Ken has graced us with our presence. For most people, this is considered to be the greatest day of their life. For him, just a Tuesday. Or Wednesday, technically.
Yeah,
but whatever,
it's
still one of those days. And
the sentiment still holds true.
So, yeah, we're here with Noobcast 32. And this episode is going to be pretty big because we're talking about the new consoles, man. And obviously, a lot of people are mad hype about the PlayStation 4. And people are obviously also very hype, or, well, some people, about the Xbox One. So, you know, we'll just start it off. Because actually, but by the time this is released, I think the Xbox One will already be out. But
I have one. I played it. It's totally good. It's sweet.
What, the Xbox One? Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. By the time you listen
well,
to
no,
this,
the thing
I'm
is,
on it. It's good.
Wait, are you getting the Xbox One?
No.
Okay. I mean, that's a little too console for you. You usually stick with the portable systems, right?
PS4 will be mine eventually. It's like a Wayne's World when he's playing, looking at the guitar at the guitar store.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be mine. Oh,
it
yes.
It will be mine eventually.
Oh, yes. You will be mine.
Oh, nice. So you are going to plan to get it now. All right, let me cut through this.
Let me just wait until all the kinks are ironed out, all the blue lights and the green lights. And so I'm going to pump the red light until things are just a little bit less dreary. And don't get me wrong, I think PS4 has a pretty strong, well, fairly strong release list for, you know, the first couple of games. But it's nothing that'll blow your mind quite yet.
Right. I mean, are you planning to get that just because of the Vita connectivity stuff?
I wouldn't say just because. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, if I get I have smartphones. I could do smart glass with the Xbox One. Shit, if I wanted to, I could do that with the 360. That's not the part that interests me. I just like the games. I like this. I don't know. For some reason, I like what the PS4 has coming along. Even though to Steve's fucking side of the conversation. They bring the exact same thing, which is pretty much true. And
yeah, I mean, I think Ken would agree with me just knowing from a hardware aspect. These companies are going to bring, like, if there's a feature that's really good on the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One will incorporate it, and vice versa. I mean, if this TV thing that the Xbox is doing turns out to be the best thing since sliced bread, don't think, you know, Sony won't have it in a firmware update, you know, 3 months later. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we're just at a point where, you know, with these systems, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but you have to understand that sliced bread has gluten. A lot of people have gluten allergies, so people go to PS4 like me.
Okay.
So that's what Ken would say. Ken would agree with me on that one.
No, I think it's all, you know, a lot of it is like the hype and the media marketing, and I guess that's the first thing I like to touch on is the fucking media right now for the PS4 has been phenomenal. I mean, this launch is doing extremely well in sales, coming from very positive. I mean, there's obviously some articles people are having trouble with a couple of the system updates, and there's even been brick systems sent, but, you know, no one's really shitting a brick. It's not like it's the Red Wing, where when the Red Ring came out, people were fucking shitting their pants. Like, if you get a bricked PS4, people are like, oh, well, you know, it's Sony. We'll give it. I mean, I think people are just like, they're ready to like Sony.
No, like, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, because when, you know, all this stuff, like if when you talk about the media being so good for the PR, for the PS4, I think what you're really talking about is a PR machine for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're like leading up to this E3 and that pre-E3 thing that Microsoft did. You know, I think the pre-E3 meeting that Microsoft did got everybody confused because they didn't show any games.
Yeah.
And then when they did E3, people were like, okay, this isn't too bad. But then, of course, you know, a half hour later, whatever, PS4 came out with their big conference, and then everyone was like, oh, Xbox sucks.
Yeah, it was like an uppercut to the Xbox.
No, but you're absolutely right.
I really feel like, all right, so back in February, Sony set it up. They set themselves out really good. They had a really good showing. And then when May came around a month before, or actually only 2 or 3 weeks before E3, Xbox and Microsoft really had everyone's attention, and they had a really good opportunity to totally take the lead in everything. And then they completely came out with all these undeveloped or underdeveloped ideas, which since now from then has been completely changed like silly putty. Like, they were making all these proclamations of, you know, DRM and, you know, I guess diskless games and whatever. And I don't know if that was their plan all along, just to become like Xbox 362 or 720, because it's just, it was a really weird morphing. While Sony has pretty much stayed the same way the whole way, but yet kind of snuck things in slyly. Because, wow. Right, it's a PR machine. No, you're right about that.
Yeah, I think the Sony PR machine was crushing Microsoft into a corner where they felt they had to change.
Well, Microsoft, you know what? Did it like,
let me say this,
opinion.
And this could be a very conspiracy. Well, not a conspiracy theory, but this is completely without evidence. But let me just throw this out there because I remember when the Xbox first came out. Everyone that we know, at
are
least.
We talking about the 360 or the OG?
I'm
Xbox
talking
One, right?
About the OG back the in the, what was that? 2000, whenever. You know,
I hate that name, Xbox One.
We were all hating on it. I mean, no one really wanted Microsoft to get into the console war. People, you know, were a little upset at the time because pretty much Sega just died, and people were not happy with Microsoft coming in. So people weren't happy with Microsoft. Everyone loves Sony. PlayStation 3, 360 comes out. It's pretty fair to say, even though, you know, we could look at the numbers, whatever, at least in the U.S., 360 did better. It was a better system. It had better Live. I'll even argue the library is better, but whatever. That's up for debate. Let's just say the 360 did better. I think it's fair to say that even while the 360 did better, people still didn't like Microsoft. People enjoyed the system because it was done so well. But, you know, I don't think people like paying for Live. I just think there's people wish almost that Sony put out the same damn thing that the 360 did. So when the PS4 comes out, it's like people are ready to fucking jump ship on Microsoft. And I don't know. This is completely without basis. But it just seems like people are so ready to shit on Microsoft when they've done nothing but good things, in my opinion.
True. I mean, obviously I wasn't on the podcast during like all the E3 stuff.
In spirit, you were.
Yeah. I mean, because basically Xbox, I mean, and this is Xbox's fault. Like, it's going to be a study. It's going to be like a business study one day on the idea of messaging, where basically all they needed to do was come out and be like, look, we know you hate GameStop. So do we. So we're creating this Xbox 720. That's the name they should have gone with. Yes. And it's basically Steambox. Except it does everything that Steam does, except you can lend your games to your friends. That's all they needed to say, and everybody would have been on board.
Oh, they would have been jumping for, like, high heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they didn't do that. And for some reason, Sony, I think, took a big look at last generation where stateside, they did pretty much everything wrong. They were so stubborn on the price for pretty much the duration of the system. They didn't get the online play right.
Yeah, they never got it to where
they
Microsoft
never got it done right. It. And so they said, you know, after Microsoft came out with that first pre-conference, when everyone was like, well, they never talked about games. And so, you know, PS3 or PS4 or Sony at that E3 conference was like, games, no media, you can have your discs, and Xbox sucks. And everybody was like,
Well, you know, to go on.
That was basically it, right?
That's basically, yeah. That's the recap of E3 for you guys.
You say that people have hated Microsoft. It's not.
Oh, certainly.
Not like people hated like the Xbox necessarily. I mean, they came in from a different area. I'm not a PC. I'm not like a really super tech savvy. I don't really care about that shit.
People hate it. I mean, but
you're right. What you're saying that people came in with this idea that they hated Microsoft, like people will hate, you know, like Bank of America, or they'll hate, you know, these. And because the Bank of America fucks over people, Microsoft just does their own thing, and you can explain it in a moment. But here's what also it is. I think you should get what you pay for, you know, for the most part. And you could say people hated Xbox Live. I personally didn't because I get it. It's a subscription. It's there are things about it that I totally don't like and things about it I really do like and things that have really come together. And that's where, I mean, everyone who had Xbox Live didn't have much, I guess, problems, you know, getting talking with friends, playing with games. And people were on Xbox Live. You know, PSN didn't have that same rapport with, I guess, online gaming. I think Xbox Live was really good. And if you think about it, I'm not sure if you... I thought the pricing was pretty fair. If you spent $60 for a full year of it, I didn't think it was that bad. It wasn't that expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But right. that now that's going along, I guess Sony's going to use that for the next gen. They're going to have that PS Plus, where, I mean, not only do you get discounts on games, which is a fantastic program, but I think you can still play some games online for free, but they're really trying to get you to subscribe. And they're trying to give you benefits for it, not just
play your games online. Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, just if you look at basic server maintenance, it makes sense that, you know, you can't really – it's hard for these companies to give such a great product for free because they're losing tons of money with all the, you know, the hosting and the servers they set up to allow you to play these games on it. So, I mean, I'm not mad about Sony charging. I'm not mad about Xbox charging. I guess all I was saying is people have – everyone's always had a pretty negative opinion on Microsoft.
And you know, Steve, like to your point too. So, you know, everybody was like, the Xbox haters last gen were like, oh, Xbox Live costs something. And what you were saying, Bubba, the price is good depending on how you use it. I saw Michael Pachter saying something about it. It's like a gym membership, right? Like if it's like $60 a month, but you're going every single day, you're like, oh, wow, that's a great deal. If it's $60 a month and you never use it and you're like, oh, it sucks. Fast forward to now, PlayStation is implementing their own thing, right, where, you know, they're doing a subscription-based model. You don't hear anybody complaining about them. Mm. You know what I mean? But you always heard it about Microsoft. It's just like, come on, buddies. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, people just, they love to hate on Microsoft. And, I mean, I can understand Microsoft kind of, they dug the hole themselves. But I think a lot of things was people never thought Microsoft belonged in the console place. And I'm sure there's people that have a 360 that probably still think the same thing, you know, that are still like, oh, it's Microsoft, you know.
Well, you know, it's bad, too, because I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's been rumblings that whoever is going to succeed, whoever that dude
Ballmer.
Was, that he's thinking of shuttering the Xbox from Microsoft's kind of lineup and making its own entity because he thinks it's getting in the way of what Microsoft should be doing.
So, yeah, that would be bad. But I think they're thinking about doing that company-wide. They're going to start trying to split it into divisions that they have never done before. So I don't think Microsoft would be the only casualty of that.
It probably is, you know, like to your point, Steve, it's like, you know, we kind of grew up on PlayStation, you know, with like the original PlayStation 1 and then PlayStation 2, which was like an even bigger juggernaut. And up till then, you know, Sony had done everything right by gamers. So I think that they had all of this goodwill towards gamers.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other side, from Microsoft, all people know Microsoft for is like Windows XP at the time, you know, which sucked balls and no one liked, and gouging everybody for prices for like Office and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and putting everyone in software out of business. Yeah, Microsoft did not have a good.
I mean, people looked at Microsoft and still do as the evil empire. You know what I mean?
Well, remember when we're a little older. We're not super old. I mean, we're not like Steve's age. He's like 49,000 years old. But, you know, when we were growing up, like Sony was just a television company. You know, they made products. They made media products.
Well, they had like Walkman. Media.
Yeah, but they're making media products. It wasn't like, like you said, when Microsoft came in, they had a completely different perception.
What was the PS1's first? What was the tagline? It was like a game play center or something, or I don't remember.
The PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
This dildo vibrates.
Entertainment. I don't know. Whatever. It stayed along with the catchphrase. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously Sony's had a better rapport. And they fucked up with the PS3, but people are very happy to give them another chance. And that's why, you know, I mean, you said yourself, the PS4, like, they didn't have to fucking shock the world. All they had to do was not screw up. Like, I think people were so ready to embrace Sony, and, you know, it's like there's almost no way they could have lost this battle, because as we mentioned earlier, everything they've screwed up on so far, you have heard apologists and, you know, you've heard things that you would never heard from Microsoft when it's like the same thing's happening to Sony. People are like, oh, brick system, whatever. Sony will send another, no problem. We don't care.
But Microsoft just backed off of everything they said. They were like, we're going to take over the world. Yeah, maybe just Australia.
It sucks, too, because, like, seriously, we don't need to get all in this, but, I mean, they basically were just trying to do Steam and make it better, and everybody loves Steam, but the messaging was so bad.
Yep.
And it's not like every other piece of media that we dissect now isn't digital and has licensing from, like, you know, DRM, MP3s, to even, video games on Steam or whatever service you want to talk about.
Yeah, movies. I mean, you were saying stuff. I mean, what was it? I think you were telling me I was reading somewhere where they're like, video games is like the hardest form of entertainment.
It.
Yeah, because, once you release it, bam, that's it. Like, everyone else, like, MP3s, you have, like, you make your royalties, you have... your MP3 is still on Amazon and videos, you have your rental, then you have, Netflix, and you're making money from all these sources. It's like video game, once you release it, bam, there it goes. Like, you're not making money off Jack Diddley. I mean, now DLC, but,
when the Microsoft, when the Xbox One was first initially talked about, and Ken, I remember that article you sent over when they talked about the designer for Microsoft over in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
I love the way that they initially, after the fact, they pretty much were saying that we wanted to create a new ideal way of not even just gaming in general or the way that your video game console fits into your house or your living room. They wanted to change essentially the whole marketplace on how things were going to be done, in this new Microsoft world that you're right. They didn't explain at all. Like, they didn't even go into detail about it. And it was very good. Like, you look back at it now, you're like, wow, they could have done some really special things. But what has disappointed me the most about Microsoft out of everything is as cool and ideal and whatever idea they ever thought of, they backed off of everything by August.
Well, what do you want them to do? What do you want them to do?
Yeah, they
Did you see the way the press was looking? Did you see... Basically, the way everyone was shitting completely over, no one understood it.
That's fine because all the talking heads. It's like when you watch, like, I'm a big sports guy, which is more into politics. I don't fucking care. But like anything happens with the talking heads, they'll disagree with it. These are the guys that are the deep analysts. But when you're looking at the actual consumers and people that were putting money for, putting money down to secure their next Xbox, they weren't taking away their pre-orders. They kept them right there, and that's where I think everything is lost.
Lot of the consumers didn't know what the hell Microsoft was trying to do, and I think that's based off of what Ken's saying. Microsoft was explaining it bad, but I don't think people understood the concept. A lot of the consumers were like, "Oh, wait, we're not going to have discs. We're not going to be able to use games."
Neither did the talking heads.
Well, I'm saying, it was no more clear when I was talking to you, Bubba, on GChat, and I was like, oh, yeah, they said that you can rent the game out to, your friends, and I was like, that's so cool, and you were like, what? You're like, what, when they say that? And I was like, oh, they said it, like, after the conference on, like, IGN or something, you know what I mean? And it's just like, they didn't, and you know what, like, a lot of those things that they were going to bring out, like, family lists and all that, people were asking me, like, what's a family list? And for the 360, this gen stuff, I was the only one that I ever knew who was on a family plan with anybody. So it's like...
I saw the family plan. I just never... Yeah.
Well, it made perfect sense. So, like, my brother-in-law, he's on the family plan, and my two kids are on the family plan, too, because we have three Xboxes in the house because I bought them all Black Friday for, like, dirt cheap. Neither here nor there. But the thing is, it's like, when we bought Minecraft, we had to buy, a Minecraft for every system. And, even like when, all of us would get like Arkham Asylum or Arkham City or whatever the game was, these single player games where we're not going to be playing it all at the same time, we're going to be spending, $120, $180 between us when, the Xbox One was going to be like, look, everybody in your family plan can just share all your games. But they never made that leap to say, here's what a family plan is. Here's what you can do with it, and this is why it's going to save you a ton of money. Like, they never put that out because their marketing was so bad.
Yeah. I agree. And that's what I'm thinking. I think like a lot of the people that didn't know what they were ultimately trying to do were, you know, hating what they were trying to do. So, yeah, Microsoft, they backed off what they were trying to do because, you know, they fucked it up and the people didn't understand. And then the press they were getting was atrocious from it.
Yeah. And, you know, T-Bubba, like what were you saying? I think that the numbers for the pre-orders, they were seeing that it wasn't anywhere near what PlayStation was projecting. So I think that's why they backed off. That's everything I read anyway.
I feel like they should have been a little bit more headstrong, because even what got me what also made me back up, I think that the last straw on the whole Microsoft One thing, and just showing how little of a backbone Microsoft had with the Xbox One, is when they made the Kinect 2 no longer a required, part of it. Now, I don't know the details anymore. Maybe it is required again, but they were at least toying with the idea of saying that, well, maybe Kinect 2 is not exactly a required thing. And secondly, is that Sony knew this all along. And I'm not saying Sony, they're not a dirty company. This is all big business with a shitload of money. And so, of course, they're gonna pounce on this. They're going to throw the dirt in the eyes of Microsoft and look a lot better. They're looking real pretty.
Yeah, but then what you're looking at also is, and this is what a lot of people were saying around the time, things like DRM. Sony signed off on DRM. All the developers wanted DRM. Really, Sony coming out and saying no DRM is a shock to everyone. They didn't even say that. They said we're going to leave it up to the developers. So
that wasn't reported because everybody loves PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. So they pretty much took the high road, but they've been big backers of DRM too. I mean, it's not like Sony hates DRM. It's just that they let Microsoft take the fault. Like, they see the way Microsoft's taken a beating from everybody, and they pretty much came in second and worked the crowd. Like, I swear they had to change that, because there's no way. I think, you know, a lot of people were reporting saying they were going to come in with almost the same DRM restrictions.
Oh, they changed
Microsoft was having, and they changed it at the last minute to basically screw over Microsoft. And it obviously worked very well from, again, the PR machine, but, you know, they're still going to, I mean, you know, the companies they publish these games for are still going to have the DRM. DRM's a thing of the future, so it's not
it is. I think DRM is one of those things that once internet or whatever develops a little stronger, it's pretty strong, but it's, I don't think it's a quite perfect world for DRM. And also the way that Microsoft set the provisions for the Xbox One, stating that you couldn't even play your game offline, I think that's where it's like, what are you doing? Like, you now you're making first world problems everyone's problem. So I didn't like that really much at all.
Well, the thing is too, and it's like, maybe me and Steve have a different take on it because we're developers.
Probably.
We can kind of understand that, because what they didn't say, but it's the only reason why they would do this, is they had to make the online thing, because once you get it offline, there's no more checks on your license, whether or not you own that game.
Yeah, the piracy issues.
So what people inevitably are going to do is just copy the game to somebody else's hard drive.
Yeah, take it offline and play it all day. Yeah. Bam.
And it's so ridiculous, because I remember in that Sony conference, and by the way, it was reported, Steve, that they were backstage and they were changing slides on the fly, including the price.
Serious? The price was $450 or $500 originally?
Yeah, because they were going to come in I think at $500, and then they dropped it to $4. Jesus. But it's just, I don't know. Whenever I talk about this stuff, it just gets me so mad, because I really, really liked that
original
Xbox One.
You were looking forward to what Xbox was going to do. Yeah.
I was really looking forward to it, and it just, hey. But in other news, Steve, here you go. Original PlayStation slogans. Enos lives. You are not Red E. Do you guys remember
that
one?
I do remember that one.
The other ones I don't remember so well. Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation, and then just PlayStation.
Yeah. Not as good as Dreamcast is, man. Dreamcast, no one will ever forget.
Oh.
It's thinking.
Oh. Oh, what was that? Wait, Sega does, but Nintendo can't? Or is that what
No, it's thinking. It's thinking was a dream.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was the first one on the internet, man.
With that was with that pedo voice,
right? Yeah. with this Sweet 56 came at him. Oh man, those were the days. God, but yeah, no. So you're right, Ken. You're right, and I'm glad it's. I know you kind of at least partially agree with me, but you know what, man? Yeah, I'll tell you what's gonna happen, man. Xbox is gonna get crushed this gen. And it's funny, I was talking to Joe. I was talking to Joe, because he just got the PS4, and you know he's like, well, which one are you gonna get? And I was thinking about it, and honestly, eventually I'll probably get both. But I was like,
you are dropping loot, so
yeah, I'm dropping.
So come on.
But you when it comes down to games, one, I get you, Steve.
No, that's not it. That's okay. Not it at all. No. He's like, which one are you gonna get? And I was like, well, you know, I think this is the generation where you're not gonna care. Like, exclusives are not right. gonna matter nearly as much. So I do think you'll be fine getting by with one system.
You say
and,
that.
And when I was saying that, I was like, well, then it comes down to which system my friends are gonna get. Because like, it doesn't even matter which one I want. Like, if I want the Xbox One, and I think it's gonna be a better system, but I know 20 people buying the PS4, then I'm gonna get the PS4 because that's what everyone's gonna be playing. So, as unfortunate as it is, because I've been a big supporter of Xbox from the beginning. Man, I think they're gonna get crushed this gen.
You think
and
so?
I don't know what they can do about it. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think even if you just look at the price point alone, I mean, that $100 is like
that's a lot.
That's such a huge, significant difference, and people are gonna lean towards.
It's not that. It's not that significant.
It is. I think it's significant. If you're on the fence, that $100 is very significant.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, we kind of forget because, like, you know, we are a little bit older and we finally have a little bit of money to our name. But, like, even a $400 system, like, that's a lot, man, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, remember when at 360 and PS3? Well, I mean, PS3 came out, didn't come out like this.
Yeah, and PS3 got us ass kicked because PS3
Yeah, because, was like, this system was, like, $600.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like the Xbox was, what, $400 or $500 at the time, but it was doing better. It was cheaper, moving more. I guess it was $400. They had different tiers.
Yeah, they did. But, oh man! If you go back then, they had the arcade one where it didn't have it had like 20 megabytes.
No hard drive
or something.
Well, look, you can buy a PlayStation 3 now with like 12 gigs, right? They have a 12 gig PlayStation out.
It's gotta be more. Is that good enough just to download all the updates?
I have no idea, dude.
It's not even worth buying a PS3. It's just because it's going to stay on for 48 hours. You won't be able to play it.
$199 at Walmart, and you know, Steve, I started thinking when you started talking about exclusive that you're right. I don't even think it matters because, like, back in the day, exclusive, like, really meant something because you had, like, so many first-party titles coming out. And, like, when I think of that, I'm thinking, like, Nintendo, like, Dreamcast, stuff like that. But when I probably, like, a couple months ago when I was thinking about buying my third PlayStation 3, I returned the other ones. You know, I was looking at the games that came out for it. Like, should I buy this console for these games? And it's like 10 games. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's like.
If anything, there's more exclusives on Microsoft. Like that's one thing Microsoft's always done a good job is they pay a shit ton of money to get the exclusive, like to keep like Gears of War, to keep Mass Effect. Like they pay out the wazoo to get these exclusives.
Well, you know Mass Effect too, like, was for Mass Effect 1 and initially Mass Effect 2. It was only 360. Now it's on.
Now
everything.
Yeah, now it's on both. But they.
But
pay.
You know too, like those exclusives, they used to be system sellers. Like even like these exclusives, they're not system sellers for at least like a last gen for Sony. They weren't for me, and I wanted them to be. Like Metal Gear, Last of Us, Uncharted. Like I don't think those are system sellers. Like I think
they're really good games.
Seller. They are, but I don't think they're system sellers.
Yeah, I mean you say this now, but I'm telling you, I think eventually it's gonna go back to like because like really when you look at it, they are nearly identical in what they're gonna do, what they have. I mean. One thing can do this more with media. This other thing can, stream a little bit better. All it's going to eventually come down to which games are cool and which system your friends are playing on. I think it's those
I think that's
two
what
big
it's
going to
come down to.
Yeah, I think that's what it's
I tend to agree with Steve. I'm not too optimistic on Xbox. For me, I'm one of the few people who actually uses the 360 for its media capabilities, specifically cable card, cable viewing, and stuff through Windows Media Center.
Xbox on.
And for the Xbox One, like, I kept on trying to figure out what they were doing for that because they kept on hyping it up. And unless they are going to form some kind of partnership with cable companies, I think all you're doing is plugging your cable box's HDMI out into their HDMI in.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. And that blows.
Well, I thought Microsoft and Comcast were having, like...
Yeah, they're gonna they'll get something worked out. I mean,
yeah, they'll get something, but it's not going to be... Like, who knows how long it's going to be until it gets worked out. I'm just saying, for all the stuff I was excited about, I'm like, woo!
Yeah.
And that's what they've been doing, man. Every single time they open a door or pull a curtain, there's just less cake to enjoy.
Hey, Bubba, you know what I saw at Best Buy the other day?
Cake.
A Wii Mini.
A Wii Mini?
Yeah, have you guys even seen those?
No.
It's a $99 Nintendo Wii that comes with Mario Kart.
Oh, my God.
A Wii Mini.
Well, it's funny because I thought all the reports were saying they stopped making Wiis.
Yeah.
And I guess
they just went to Wii Mini.
They just trolled us and went to Wii Mini.
Well, that's nice. Too funny. I tell you what, that Wii Mini is going to be outselling 360s in Japan.
It's going to be outselling Wii Us. I'll tell you that.
Oh, man. I still believe in that. I don't know why. Dude, I want to.
You believe in it off completely unbased, like, completely no information, all hope.
Like, what are you talking about? There's going to be a Zelda.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, but Wii U.
It's going to eventually. It's going to, you know what?
Yeah, do you have one?
You have one?
I don't got anything.
You don't believe in it, man.
I live in a cardboard box.
You live in that van down by the river?
No. Yeah, let me tell you about something about living in a van.
I know down me and Cop Top, you know, had all
We were these... living in a van down by the river.
Me and Cop Top had all these Wiis, you know, like last Christmas, Wii Us. And I returned all of mine, and he keeps his. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, there's going to be an RPG that's going to come out for the Wii U.
Oh, man,
I was like, what else are you going to play? And, you know, I saw him for Extra Life, and he's like, I don't play anything on it.
Dude, I told him I'd buy that Wii U for like $50, and he was like, deal.
Oh, really? I'll pay him $100 for it because my kids wanted to play one game on it.
Oh, jeez.
They put it on their Christmas list, and I was like, Lucas, what other game are you going to play on it? Because he like circled just one Wii exclusive game. Yeah, he's like, I don't know.
What game was he getting? Or what game did he want?
I have no idea. If I had his list out, I'd be able to tell you, but it's already out of sight, out of mind. I'm really trying to get away from the Wii U.
Yeah.
I'm going to – Price is Right, you $1 more on that on that bid. Like, Matt, 101.
I mean, but honestly, Bubba, what would you play on it?
They have some games coming out, you know?
No, you tell me two
Smash
games
Brothers
now.
As Mega Man.
No, you tell me two games now that you would play on the Wii U.
Okay, Bayonetta 2, another one.
That's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
Tell me two games that you would play now on the Wii U. Get out of here.
Yeah,
you can't do it. You can't even give me one. Get out of here.
I can finally play those Zeldas. I haven't played any of those Zeldas. It's like Link to the Past.
Yeah,
They
haven't been good since.
Yeah, I popped in Skyward Sword like the other day on my 46-inch LCD, which is a Wii Motion Plus game. Mm-hmm. Motion Plus on there is pretty sweet, but good lord, those graphics look like they're from like the 64.
Galaxy, I didn't play those.
No, it's sweet, but it's like it's just so funny because like the Wii was competing with like 360 and PS3, and I'm looking at these graphics, and I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah, look, I don't consider myself a graphic stickler. Like, I really don't.
I'm not either.
But like, to be back that far behind,
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I remember.
It's embarrassing. It is.
No, I remember there's that shit. There's like some weird blob game done by the people that made Assassin's Creed. I'm losing my mind on this. All of a sudden,
my mind.
Whatever. But yeah, no, you're right, because you would look at just the textures and looking at how sharp things would look.
Yeah, the Jaggies.
360 versus the Wii. It was nasty.
Well, I tell you this too, because you're talking about Zelda. I've been looking at the trailers for that new Zelda game, A Link Between Worlds. It's on a portable system, above DS or 2DS or 3DS or 3D. I don't even know. One of those systems, good lord, that looks good. And every it's getting great reviews. It looks just like
I know,
like
it does look really good, right?
Even if it has low rule, I'm all in. You know what I'm saying, Steve? Low rule.
Oh, man.
I live in Hyrule.
No, but it looks so good. It looks just like A Link to the Past.
That's what I'm saying. I even like the games that Nintendo showed on their like side feature because they weren't really doing anything at E3.
You know what? But like I hate to say this, Nintendo's at the point they should leave the console making to the console makers and just do third party games. They would probably make more money. I mean, honestly, I think after this gen, they would make more money. Like if they just kind of scraped the Wii U. And it was like, we're going to keep doing handheld, but all our first-party titles are just going to come out for Xbox and for Sony. Mm-hmm. They would make more money. Because no one's going to be buying these new games on the Wii U because no one has these fucking systems. And everybody...
I agree with you, but I think they should have just gone with the Wii U at all, just totally stayed out of the video game just system console system for at least this cycle, came back... strong, brand new, refreshed, you know, like, oh, what happened to Nintendo? Oh, did you hear about this? And they just come back with something brand new and just like rethought everything. But
I don't think it's ever gonna happen.
They've just been a mess. I get it. It was like, I don't want to see Mario on a PS4 system, but it was really weird seeing Sonic on a Nintendo system. So, I mean, I get it.
Well, the thing is, like, those Mario games that are coming out for the Wii, those are actually pretty good.
They look fantastic.
Those are actually
pretty
good.
The new Mario looks so good.
But, I mean, I think when you look at the Wii U versus the Wii, the thing is that most people who bought the Wii, which were, like, parents and stuff, they didn't even know a Wii U existed, for one. For two, they don't know the difference between the Wii U and the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, there hasn't been really any marketing like, hey, the Wii U is better because X, Y, and Z. Or, hey, I mean, House Browse, this is why you should buy it. There's nothing of that. You know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah. It's not, I mean, it could be the same thing for all I know, man. It could be the same thing.
Yeah. Hey, we'll get that Wii Mini, Steve.
Sounds like they're just betting on their residual customers, trying to get any new customers right now.
Well, what people say is that the higher ups, and I'm not talking just about Shiggy, but I think like the people like above him or whatever, I don't know, people are like on the board and stuff. Apparently, until they go out, nobody believes anything's going to change with Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And apparently, they made so much money with basically every system up to, I guess, the GameCube, that they can afford like year after year of just failure after failure, and it's really not hurting them that bad.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, they made a lot of money on the Wii. The console itself, they made a lot of money on it.
Oh, yeah.
They just didn't make any money on any games.
Look, man, all I know is to quote Hall & Oates, they're out of touch, they're out of time, man. They're out of their head, man. They're out of their head. Now they need to get it right. And you're right. I mean, until the I don't think Shiggy's a problem. I don't know who the hell's a problem at Nintendo, but they're out of touch.
They're making bank off children. They're making a lot of money off of children.
And that's good. Like, I'm glad. Well, it's funny because I kind of I wondered this a while ago, and now that we have the resident expert on the podcast, I can ask him straight up.
I'm right here. So what do you want to know? What do you want to know, Steve? Stretching out now.
No, like for a while, you know, I was always like, you know, if you're a parent that doesn't know video games, it'd be tough to buy games for kids, right? Because like we know these games, and these like you don't want to buy like Vice City for a kid or whatever, Grand Theft Auto, but I always thought that if you got a kid a Nintendo system, you'd pretty much be safe with any game under the sun. Like,
sure,
there's no game on Nintendo that Lucas could play that would not be safe for him.
I think actually there's like two games on the Wii that you know a kid probably shouldn't play, but it's like very few and far between. Right, no, it was some other game.
But do you think that's even needed now? Like, so I know Nintendo had that market, and they have that market still. But is it even needed? Because, I mean, your kids are playing Xbox more, and there's obviously these games are on Xbox also. So,
What do you mean? You mean
I
like
guess, does Nintendo even win that market? Oh, are they even winning? No?
They don't. I mean, see, here's the thing, right? When the Wii came out, and this is, like, the good thing about the Wii, for a lot of people, probably not the people on this podcast, but the Wii was the first system to really usher in motion controlled graphics as like a viable market.
Yep.
And also to say, you know, to other companies that, hey, this can work. And then the Kinect came out. And in my opinion, because I've used the Wii a lot, I've used the Kinect a lot, probably more so than most hardcore gamers, the Kinect is just a lot better. There's really nothing that the Wii does better than the Kinect, in my opinion. Which is to say that if you're going to do like a bow and arrow simulator, like Link's crossbow training, the Wii U will probably be better, but it's marginal to the Kinect. And all the stuff the Kinect can do that the Wii can't is so much better. So my kids, for instance, all they want to do is play like Just Dance, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. And the Kinect, which was never reported on, like the Kinect 2, apparently there's this whole new Xbox fitness section that has like all these different games slash programs from like Jillian Michaels, the 30-day X guy, I'm blanking on his name right now. But like all these different things where like it looks at you doing the motions, it gives you like real time, get your knees up, do this, do that. You know, checks, I think it checks your heart rate or something. I don't even know how the hell it does that. But it's so like much better than like the Wii. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when you look at that versus the Wii's big fitness hit being Wii Fit Plus, you mm-hmm. had to have this board to do it. And there's only so many things that you can, you know, fake kind of do with a board. Whereas with the other stuff, you have actual motion tracking. And the Kinect 2 stuff is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? So to answer your question, I don't think that there's a real need for the Wii. And now, Bubba, it has turned into a gimmick, in my opinion.
Thank you for finally going along with the gimmick idea. Well, yeah. On that whole note, too, is that you can pretty much frame what you just said about the Wii and how it's inferior to the Kinect to just saying how Nintendo hasn't come along and said why you should buy a Wii U over a 360, over an Xbox One or PS4.
Yeah, they haven't.
That's another thing I find extremely interesting. They haven't developed any form of demand outside of even just the games itself, and you should through your catalog. But if you're they're not saying anything about it. So it's like having. It's like having a big handheld now.
Actually, Ken, now that you're on, I don't know, Bubba and I have talked about this a lot. Can you believe EA is not producing games for the Wii U?
Is that a serious question?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
To me, that's unbelievable that the quite possibly biggest publisher, definitely one of the biggest publishers.
I think it's
counting your system for dead.
Well, I mean, like, it makes sense. How about that? I mean, like, from a gaming perspective, I can't believe that one of the biggest companies is forsaking a system. From a developer point of view, it's like, hey, do we really want to spend all this money? Because it's not like the Wii is like the 360 or the PS3 or PS4 or, you know, Xbox One. The graphics aren't nearly as good. You have, like, this weird tablet thing, and then you're going to have to build in, like, some custom tablet stuff. So you're going to spend all this time, all this money to build a specialized version for a system that nobody has.
Yeah.
Nobody has it. Nobody, yeah. Except for Matt. And he doesn't even play it. And he wishes he could return it. I returned all six of mine when I got them last Christmas and no one was buying them.
Yeah.
I mean, but like they did that to themselves. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, it's so easy to sit back and like, you know, throw pot shots at all these companies. But, you know, when I was looking at Wii U stuff, I was like, hey, can I get a second screen? Because that's the coolest thing about the Wii U is that basically
the
they're giving you,
awesome. Yeah,
they're giving you a freaking tablet with a controller on it that you can actually use. But
this is a really cool idea.
Yeah, but you can't buy a second tablet.
Yeah, and that's one thing I never understood. So you're going to relate.
Because there's no games.
There's
no games that support it.
You're going to make a game. You're going to make this console, the Wii U, with this really awesome tablet thing. And even in the commercials, it's funny when they show the commercials for the Wii U, there's like one kid holding onto it, like he holding gun, and everyone else has that fucking nunchuck. And just like, and eventually they'll support too. But I don't get why the fuck did you rush the Wii U to come out so quickly after the Wii had such soft it's such a soft, I guess, grounding with gamers. So then you release this another, almost in a way, true, awkward, wonky system that devotes itself to being using a tablet, which sounds cool, but then you only can have one per system? Mm. That doesn't make any sense.
Why won't Nintendo just fucking die, guys? Look, you know, I've been the biggest fan. I've been the biggest fan of Nintendo. I honestly have, but I've seen them free fall. If you ask me, ever since the N64, because the N64, man, I remember I had to justify to people why that system. I had to justify that system because they put out so much shit on that system. Like, granted, the few good games they had in the 4-player was phenomenal, but it never really held a candle to the you know, what the PlayStation. Was it the PS2? No,
it was just PS1.
Yeah, PS1. It didn't even hold a candle to PS1. And, like, you know, granted, Mario 64 is a beautiful game, and GoldenEye was fun, and Mario Kart was great. I mean, it had a bunch of good games, but, like, all the platformers on it were fucking awful. I mean, Castlevania 64 is terrible. Superman 64, God forbid, you know, anyone play that game.
The cartridge system was stupid.
Yeah, it was way behind because they were already behind from CDs at the time. They were behind from CDs, and I think Nintendo's been behind ever since, and they've fucking been falling apart ever since. Then I was the only person pretty much I know that had a GameCube.
I had a GameCube.
Oh, did you? Yeah, fucking.
Well, size disc, too. Never made sense.
But you didn't buy it at launch, right? Yeah. Did you get it at launch or no?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, then, you know, I don't know. I've seen them really screwing up forever. And how come, you know, Sega puts out one questionable system and one bad system, and all of a sudden Sega's fucking dead? But Nintendo can put out crap after crap after crap.
I think they just had that money to fall back on.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, while we're talking about this new systems, we are going to bring up one quick little thing to basically send the old systems off, you know, play them off like the keyboard cat. Basically...
Keyboard cat. You're dating yourself, man.
Hey, man, I got a keyboard poster cat in my office.
Was he, like, hanging?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. But, you know, so look...
There's actually a cat here at the house, which, you know, Ken, we both have been, like, allergic to cats, but for some odd reason, me and this cat have, like, this shining thing where I'm not allergic to him. I fucking love that cat.
Does it play the keyboard?
No, but he looks similar except for he's not orange.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, Bubba, wait, before we go into the question, Steve, Bubba, I got a quick joke for you.
Okay.
What did Zelda say to Link when he couldn't open the door?
Da-na-na-na. I don't know.
Triforce.
Ah!
Yo, Steve, you get that, man? Steve, you got
that? Oh, that was good.
Okay, man, there we go.
That was, man.
Podcast is done.
You on the podcast, Ken. You and your joke.
No.
This is why we do it.
Yeah, that's good. So, yeah. What games would you play the most of, guys, on this last gen of systems? It could be a PS4. It could be the Wii. Okay, you know what? No, it could either be the PS4 or the 360.
You could say the PS3, but they didn't have any games for you to play on it, so it's...
No, I played a lot of PS3, actually. I played a lot of Warhawk, but whatever.
Whoever thought of this idea of this pick must be a genius. You say you played a lot of Warhawk, Steve? That was the game that you probably played the most?
No, last gen the game I played the most of, on the consoles, for sure. It had to be Madden 10.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I played so many games of Madden 10. I just had it down to a science, man. My offense was unstoppable. My bootleg, my play action with the Jaguars, the fucking Jaguars, was just glorious, man. MJD was catching every pass out the backfield. David Garrard had the wheels. He had the fucking wheels, man.
I think Mercedes Lewis is pretty strong guy in the middle too.
Yeah, it was just my team was money, so I played definitely a shit ton of Madden. And
okay, let me ask you real quick.
Yeah, for consoles that was definitely it.
So when you're playing Madden, I remember those days, you're playing Madden. I was still kicking your ass. So you're playing Madden at that point.
I think you retired. I think you didn't have an Xbox subscription. Even.
I was kicking you from afar then. Here I was kicking comes. Your ass in your own house then. just kidding. But would you say you play more League of Legends ratio wise?
When now?
Did you play more League of Legends like today versus that time period of Madden, or was it nearly equal?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, wait. Can I enter League of Legends? No, that's a PC game, so I can't. I can't put that on this list. Dude, I play a fucking unhealthy. Or I played an unhealthy amount of League of Legends. No, it's probably the same thing. Like I would come home and play a couple ranked games of Madden. You know, I was working on my ranking. No, now I play more League of Legends. Even though I quit. I quit for the time being because the season ended and there's a new season and there's a there's like a preseason. They're changing a bunch of things in the game to kind of rebalance it for next season. So it's not a good time to be playing ranked.
Wait, so you didn't quit the game. You're just not going to play.
Well, I'm quitting until the next season starts. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, really, you know, you're not going to play like at all.
I mean, probably not. I mean, I might play some normals. Yeah, I mean, I might see what the changes are.
Okay,
because they're changing up the game pretty. They're rebalancing a lot of things and adding a lot of new items and stuff. But yeah, Madden. Madden was my game that I played probably the most of on a console. Yeah, how about you guys?
You know, it's funny. There's a period in my life where I'd come home come home from working or the bar or whatever, and I loved playing quick games that I could jump in, throw in a couple. There was a shitload of Madden going on. But I did really more of the, like, a lot of Maddening. That happened on Xbox One for the most part, like 2000 and probably like 8 or something. But when it came to the 360, I would probably would say at first it was Peggle. I don't know why. I got hooked on Peggle. Mm-hmm. Peggle, like, I wouldn't stop playing it. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Then I don't know why I'd play a lot of the Impossible game, which is like an indie game where if you were going to get bang for your buck, I got so much time out of a dollar's worth of gaming, it might as well just be free to play. But when it comes down to it, it's probably Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix Tournament Edition Hyper 5-6.
No, man. It wouldn't show, Bubba. It wouldn't show. I said it would have never have shown. I would have never known that was a game. That's the game you played most.
Well, some people, I guess, just like to cheat or really take advantage of the throwing that you know.
Man, I remember when they had rankings in that game, and when everyone was playing a shit ton, and the community was blowing up, and your boy dropping loot was top 200 motherfucking 100 in the rankings.
Couldn't crack 199, could you? Couldn't crack that 199, huh?
No, I was in the top 200. I mean, I think I was, I was like above 199.
Okay, all right. Well, I can't. As much as I play the game, as much as I actually don't even win it at it, I love playing it. It's fun. There's people who still play it right now. I mean, and they're still pretty decent. I don't know what it is about it. It's just, I love Street Fighter, and I love just the old school Street Fighters. It's just so easy. You just pop right on. I think it's one of the best games on Xbox Live Arcade, personally.
It's a good game.
It's a fantastic redo, too. That's pretty much how you do a remix.
It was.
And then outside of that, man, I don't know how many hours I put into Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. Especially 1. My God, I traveled throughout that fucking... What do you call that thing? That little truck thing that goes on those different planets?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what the fuck they called that. What the hell was that?
Most people hated that part of Mass Effect.
I enjoyed it.
I loved it. I don't know what it was. It was like exploring, but they gave you enough area, but it was really boring. So you just sat with nothing.
The tomahawk. Oh,
I loved it. There isn't. When you play a BioWare game that says you can change the future, you can't change the future. It's so Calvinistic. You know, you're just like,
yeah.
This is what we will give you these options, but this is going to be the end.
Yeah,
you know?
But
I enjoyed it regardless, and I thought it had a really good story, but I had so many playthroughs, and I just sat there trying to get every single fucking mineral.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Well, yeah. I hate it, man.
Do you still play video games at all? Did you, What?
There was a time. There was a time before Ken had had kids.
I think I've really been sitting back trying to think about it, and I know with Gears of War 3, there was a lot of like these really insane achievements, like where you have to play the game and like get all these ribbons and some like play so many matches.
See, and I think you almost have the. You almost take the cake on this, because I know you do. You go after those achievements that are not the easy ones to get. You go after the ones that
take a long time. Take the commitment. So, like, for that one, actually, I put the Xbox by my computer, and I'd hooked it up to my second monitor. And I forget what it is. It's like you have to play so many matches. Like, that's part of the achievement. So what you would do is you would just tape down the analog stick so your character would just run around.
Yeah,
and I would just leave it on for days at a time. That doesn't really count because I wasn't really like playing.
Right, right.
I don't know. You guys were saying before we started like Ninja Gaiden. Could be, you know, and it's almost getting to the point that because I love Ninja Gaiden, but I never finished that last achievement, and it has a little part of my soul. Yeah. It hurts a little bit. I think I admit.
And Ninja Gaiden 2, I guess, for those listening to the cast that don't know, there are achievements that give you, I think it's like, 5 points for beating the whole game using one weapon.
Yep.
And so, you know, this is like hours and hours for like...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about those because I got all those. I got all those and then...
But then the last difficulty where like in a first boss... The first stage, you have like literally no life bar, and they're throwing the incendiary shurikens at you.
See, what you guys don't know out there, like everybody on this cast has played Ninja Gaiden 2, but it's Ninja Gaiden 2 has made the list of a lot of people's hardest games on this current gen. Like, it is no joke. And I thought it was a joke for like a hot second because you play on like Warrior difficulty.
Yeah, that's pretty
easy. I'm pretty good at video games. It can be difficult, but. Like, seriously, once you go through those achievements where you have to use just one weapon, like, you learn, like, you know, how to get real good at the game. But, you know, we go to, like, LAN parties and people are like, hey, man, can you show me how to do Way of the Mentor? Because I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to use nunchucks. And so you're like, wow, these people suck. And then, like, you know, you're feeling all good about yourself. And then you go to Way of the Mentor, which is essentially it's hard difficulty.
Yeah.
And it is close to impossible. And yeah. I've never been so mad at a game. And like Julie and the kids would come down and they'd like try to talk to me and I would just be so mad at them. Like, you know, for existing in this reality. And I would just get so mad at them. So I finished Mentor. And then you're right, Steve, you get to Master Ninja difficulty.
Yeah.
It's the last achievement in the whole game. And, like, the first scene, like, the game starts, and it's, like, one fight. And I got past that one scene. Now, this one scene on regular difficulty take you, I don't know, literally 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that. It probably took me 3 hours to get past this thing. Because, like, all these ninjas throw these exploding shurikens. And, it, like, it's not just one. It's, like, all 8 ninjas are shooting, like, 30 at you. You get hit with one,
and
you
done.
Blow up, yeah. You know, and it goes like this weird, like, slow motion, like, you die. And it's just like you start back over. And
yeah, oh, it's unbelievable.
It really hurts. And it pains me that I never finished it. So I'm not going to make a proclamation that I will not play a PS4 or Xbox One until I get that achievement, but I'm thinking about it.
It's funny when you go – it's funny when you think about it because, like, the last – I would say this, especially this gen, because I'm a big like NFL football guy. A lot of us, you know, well, like football.
NFL.
But like when you see how the NFL has been going with the way that, you know, oh, like these hits are making the game softer. They're making the game too soft. People can't get hit anymore. When you look at a lot of these games, it almost feels like the new NFL where you can't hurt anyone's feelings. You can't hit people too hard. You know, you do that, you start getting in trouble. Playing Ninja Gaiden 2 was like playing 1970s NFL football. It was like brought you back to how hard games used to be in the old 8-bit days. They were so unforgiving, unrelenting, and you actually were rewarded for being punished. And that's how Ninja Gaiden 2 was. It was just like And I didn't even get to the levels that you guys got. And that game was so unforgiving. And
it'll make you humble. It'll make you humble, brother.
It'll make you cry. I mean,
it's
make
like
you...
the Iron Sheik of video games.
That would be...
Oh, by the way, did I tell you, Ken, that...
no, you didn't.
At New York Comic Con, we saw Sergeant Slaughter just on the street.
Oh, you said hi to
him? Well, I didn't realize it, so... Like, I pass him and I like look at him. I'm like, that's like a weird looking dude. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he has a weird
like,
face.
Where do
doesn't
I?
It?
And dude, it's the biggest chin I have ever fucking seen. It was unbelievable. But by the time I realized, like, so I'm like, who the fuck? And then like I go and Joe's like, dude, that's Sergeant Slaughter. And I was like, what?
He's like,
that's
what?
Sergeant Slaughter. And I look around. And I was like, oh my fucking god, that's Sergeant Slaughter. And he just got in a cab. And apparently he was there and he was charging for pictures, but yeah, man.
Yeah,
Sergeant
making
Slaughter
all
with...
those making all those G.I. Joe residuals. Let's see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know why I went. Oh, because Iron Sheik and Making Humble. Yeah, Ninja Gaiden 2 sucks, man. That's a great fucking game, but man, that difficulty is.
Yeah, it's pretty out of control.
It is, but. Yep. So, yeah, I think that's what we got here for the Noobcast 32, guys.
Oh,
so, as always, this has been a fun one. As always, check us out at New Gamer Nation. Check us out at Twitter, New Gamer Nation, YouTube, New Gamer Nation, and Facebook, New Gamer Nation, all over those interwebs. It's your boy dropping loot.
It's your boy running with scissors.
It's your boy VTech.
Yes, y'all... Where did you get that? Y'all take it easy.
VR Troopers?
Yeah.
No, it's just one of those handheld phones, man. VR Troopers. We are virtual reality.
Nice.
We are VR out.
Peace. Yeah, y'all take it easy. Peace.